Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, and this is tape number 22 of Life. And today I want to talk to people about how to eat from the tree of life. I don't think anybody really knows how to eat from the tree of life. If I asked you specifically, how do you eat from the tree of life, would you know? After, let's see, what, this is the 21 messages, this is the 21st, and after, how long have you been in the church? 29 years. You know how to eat from the tree of life?
To have the Lord living in you by reading and by prayer and letting the Lord live his life out in you.
Yeah, but, I mean, do you let the Lord live his life out in you? Because life is life. It isn't, you know, just sitting dead or having somebody beat you to do something. But how do you eat from the tree of life? I mean, really, how can you tell, let's put it this way, when somebody is eating and drinking from the tree of life?
When you see the works of the Lord being done by them or in them.
And what would that mean?
Keeping the commandments and being obedient to the Lord.
No, that doesn't show me exactly what I'm looking for. I mean, you sound very blasé about it. Anybody else volunteer any information in this regard, more than what she's saying? Do you know what that means? I'm asking some questions. Or if anybody really knows what it is to... Do you remember what the question was that I asked?
To eat from the tree of life, eat from the Lord.
Yeah, to eat and drink. Eat the river, to eat down at the river from the tree of life, and to drink the water from the river of life. What is that like? Tell me what that's like. Or do you understand the question? Do you think that drinking and eating from the tree of life is sports? Do you think it's rollerblading? Would that be a person that you'd think is eating and drinking from the tree of life? Think playing basketball, football, baseball would be a person that you would believe that they are drinking from the tree of life, eating from the tree of life and drinking from the river of life? Would you think that's what that is?
No.
Or somebody that's a boxer that's beating people's brains out for Jesus because they pray, you know, before they're in the fight and they say, oh, Jesus, let me win. Why? Why don't you believe that they're drinking from the river of life and eating from the tree of life? Why? See, because you're not conscious of what life is, and you can't answer the question. Can you answer the question, Lydia?
No.
No, so she doesn't really know. How about you?
Those actions don't bring forth any life.
That's correct. Those actions don't do are worthless, they're futile, they're of no value whatsoever to life. Sharon said that. Because, you know, before I was saved, before I was a Christian, I gave all my life, my heart, and my soul to things that I wanted to do. But they didn't have any virtue or value, no virtue of life, no value, there's no life value, nothing whatsoever in life. So I was eating and drinking the corruption of this world. I just, everything that I desired to do, everything that I wanted, I got. I was able to get. And I went after everything with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength in my very being. When I wanted to do something, it was eating and drinking it, sleeping, breathing it. That's what eating from the tree of life and drinking from the river of the Lord of life is that you are going after it with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You're doing, not just blasé, as Lydia was telling me, though. Well, you have to read and pray and do to keep the commandments of the Lord. You see all kinds of people that they're not fornicating, they're not, but they're not really, they don't have any life in them. She's talking, the way she talks is death. The way she was saying that to me, it didn't enthuse me at all to be involved in life. I read and pray and fast and read and pray and fast and, you know, keep the commandments of the Lord and say praise the Lord and hallelujah and amen, Jesus. And when you look at the people that are into basketball, they're just dribbling that ball and they're just enthusiastic and, man, everybody's cheering and everything because they're going after what they are really living after, the tree of corruption and the river of corruption. They're going after it with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, but those suckers are dead, aren't they? And, man, they just admire all these different people that play guitar or play trumpets, you know, all this Banderas and all this kind of stuff. Because, man, they just, after that, that's all they do. Everywhere that dude goes, he carries his trumpet with him, or this other guy carries his guitar with him every place he goes. Because that's what he's into with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is, to him, life. That's his life. That's how he eats from his tree of corruption and the river of corruption. You see, people really don't know what eating and drinking is. You ever hear, this person just loves to do this. He eats it, he breathes it, he sleeps it, he drinks it. Didn't you ever hear anybody say that before? That's what it means to eat and drink the gospel. The truth, I don't see hardly anybody doing that in the church except some baby Christians that come in every so often. They eat it, they sleep it, they read it, they everything they do is for the Lord. I mean, there's nothing in this world that has any interest in it. Just like me, I was in the middle of this big campaign, and it was big. And to you, it may not be big, but it was the biggest thing that the entertainment industry had ever seen in their entire life. And everything I've ever done, it just floored and astounded everybody in the world. And even when I went at it after I got saved, when Susie told me that the Lord said I was supposed to do it, people were astounded that this miraculous promotion had, I just did it half-heartedly. But I knew I had been paid to do something to, and I was a owner of this Rovan. And I knew that I had to do a good job for him because the Lord says that you have to do a good job for every person that has hired you to do something. Some Chinamen from San Francisco put up the money for me to do the promotion for Rovan, and I was the president. I was the head of the company and the head of the record company. It was Talamo Records and Kalamo Records. T for Tony and A, Alamo for Talamo Records. And K, because I let Norman K put I put a K there in front to make him feel good. K, Alamo Records. But even the world was astounded that this man came from a woodworking factory company to a big superstar within 90 days, and he was the star of the Dunes Hotel, the Casino de Paris, and he was on RCA Victor with a major, huge contract on 5 Jack Benny programs, which is something to the world, and the Ed Sullivan program, and the Ambassador Hotel Coconut Grove, and the Americana, the grand opening of the Americana at the Royal Box Room, which was the big room for entertainers to play it. And I went with it because the Lord, Susie said the Lord wanted me to do it, I went for it with zeal. Life! Eating and drinking, doing what the Lord said. Not just, well, you eat and you pray and you blah, 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 and you, this kind of stuff. That isn't serving the Lord, just to recite, read, and pray, and hallelujah, and praise the Lord, and amen, Jesus. No, it's you can tell somebody that's got the fire behind them. Amen?
Amen?
Okay, well, everything I did in the world, people were running after me. Even people come up to me and said, are you the Naz? In other words, the Nazarene? They thought I was God, these half-wits out there. They saw something that they never saw before in anybody in their life. And certainly not all of most of the people I know put together never had that kind of zeal to go after what they wanted. You don't have it! You don't eat and drink and sleep and breathe and think. Your mind is not concentrated constantly on the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord is not moving you to do something in this world. In other words, you're phonies until you start really eating from the tree of life and drinking, because the Lord never walked around and says, when he was teaching people how to have life in them, he didn't tell them, well, you have to eat, and you have to read and pray, and you have to blah, 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 like a homosexual or a lesbian. That isn't what it's all about. Learning. I didn't know anything about the Bible, but when the Lord came down upon me and finally convinced me in that office to do something, those people never witnessed anything like that before, because the Lord says, sell me more than you've ever sold anything in your life, and you know you are the best salesman that has ever lived. Nobody can sell as good as you can. Now let me see you sell me. When I was about 12, 13 years old, there was an ad in the paper in Helena, Montana, for a salesman. And man, we just couldn't hardly make it on what I was shining shoes and on the streets and in bars and carrying a paper out and delivering papers door to door, sometimes in weather 10, 20, and even 30 below zero. I made up my mind. I had a constitution. I was constituted in such a manner. I was built out of some kind of a fiber that was going to get the job done. I don't care if I froze my nose off and my feet and my fingers. I was going to deliver that paper. I wasn't going to come up with some excuses. I've got a cold. Or don't we get to play? That isn't what it's all about. That isn't drinking and eating. I wanted to be the very best. That nobody could be better than I am. That nobody has that kind of fire in them. Nobody is eating that sort of thought, that sort of compassion, that sort of deed, that sort of way of life. Nobody wants to live that sort of life. To where you're going to prevail, you're going to make it through no matter what. Come rain, snow, sleet, ice, Bernie Lazar Hoffman was going to make it through. Bernstein rides again. Nobody can defeat me, was my motto out in the world before I was ever saved. When I was boxing, I loved to box. Nobody ever beat me. I've never been knocked out. Whenever I went after something, I really loved it. I went with it with all my heart and soul. I can't stand blasé, dead, half-baked, quarter-baked, 10% nothings that never amount to anything in their life. Well, for God's sake, I was supporting my mother and two brothers when I was 9 and 10 years old. And with joy, it wasn't a hardship. Eating and drinking that sort of theology, which was my own theology. I never read any books called Think and Grow Rich, or books by Nathaniel Hill, or other self-help type people. Later in life, after I was successful, I took a look into it and says, this is the way I've always thought. I've always thought that way ever since I was a kid. But I applied for a job when I was 11 or 12 years old, and I did some tests. These people came into the town, you had to be 18, and I always looked younger than my age, and I was only 12 or 13 years old. And they went back to New York, and they called. They said, we're flying back to talk to you. I said, wow, this is really something. Talk to an 11, 12, 13-year-old kid? And they're going to fly all the way back from New York City to talk to me? And two guys were there, and they were in a room, a hotel room, in Helena. And they says, we got your test, and it was just, you know, we want to make sure that it was the right, grade that you got here. We'd just like to give it to you again. And so it was a time test, you know, they give you about 3 minutes to answer one, or 5 minutes, or 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And they did it, and they went back in, and they took the test in and graded it. And they said, we couldn't believe it at first. But you, I mean, we've been in business for over 100 years, this company, and tell them we've never seen a grade this high so far as salesmanship in our entire life. And for that matter, we don't believe that anybody else can sell as good as you can. You are incredible, but we cannot hire because you've failed your algebra test. And I said, well, I said, if I'm that good of a salesman as you say I am, well, then couldn't I make enough money to hire some guy that knows algebra to come along with me to do all the, if there's algebra in selling these type of things? And they looked at each other and they started laughing. They said, look, he's trying to close us. He's trying to nail us to the cross. That's beautiful, man. He says, you're absolutely right. You will be making that much money, but the company policy says that we can't hire you unless you know algebra. And I said, well, your company is stupid, and I wouldn't want to work for a stupid company anyway. And I just walked out on them. Well, that's the way I went out after everything. When I wanted to play basketball, I played basketball, and I was good to a point. One time I got so angry that I didn't realize it was halftime, and I put the basketball in the wrong basket, the other team's basket, because you changed sides. I went after football. I went after boxing. I went after wrestling. I went after making money. And I was everybody says I was the best at it that they'd ever seen in their life because I ate it. I drank it. I didn't just learn about it. Forget about that. I already knew it inside. It's just what you want to do with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I want to get the gospel out. I didn't know it. I want to get that out more than anything because I didn't believe that he existed. And then when he proved to me in the office that he did exist, my God, I thought everybody's going to go to hell if I don't get out there and tell them. That's what eating and drinking the gospel is, not just sitting on your prat or rollerblading or learning how to play a guitar or a musical instrument or something. That's fine in your spare time. But to put your whole life and heart and soul and start eating and breathing and living and sleeping and everything you do into it, you're going to hell. I'll tell you that because the Lord is number one. And the Lord says, you put all your energy, all your heart, all your soul, all your everything into all these different things in your life. And you went after it with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. When I wanted to own a farm, I had the biggest one and the best one. One day a man called me up on the phone. He was a judge in Van Buren, Arkansas. His name was Neron Edwards, and I believe he's still alive, and you can call him to this day to ask him if I'm telling you the truth. About 5 o'clock in the morning, I was up in the kitchen. Susie was in bed. He says, Tony. I says, what? He said, Neron Edwards here. He's a judge. And also he was the person that runs the abstract company. And whenever you buy something or sell something, you go through Neron Edwards out there in that area. He says, somebody stole all my pigs. I said, pigs? I says, I never knew you had pigs. How many pigs did they steal? Man, they stole a couple of thousand of them. Tony, I haven't got the manpower like you do. He says, Tony, he says, I want to give you that farm if you'll just take over the payments on the loan. He said, I just put $300,000 into that farm out there. And he says, if you'll just take it and get it off my hands, I don't want to make the payments because I've got nobody to take care of that farm. He says, I'll just like give it to you if you'll just take over the $300,000 payments. The thing is worth about $500,000. I says, well, first of all, I says, I don't want to take care of any pigs, but I'll ask some of the brothers at the church if they want to do that. And if they do, I'll call you back and I'll do it, okay? So I called him back, and Bill Levy and a bunch of them said, yeah, they want to raise pigs. I said, well, if you do, it's got to be the number one hog farm in the country because I won't have you. I'm not going to take over $300,000 responsibility to let you pukes. Let it go down the tubes, okay? Because I bought a lot of cars for you people, and you've ruined them. I bought trucks, and you've ruined them. And I bought houses for you, and built houses for you, and had people build houses for you, and you've ruined them. Everything I give you, you ruined. And Susie said, she said, I just cry for you all the time, Tony, because you're so filled full of enthusiasm, because you do everything. Anything that you have, you want to preserve it for the Lord, because you eat, sleep, dream, breathe the Lord. Why? Because I am eating from the tree of life. Some people just can't receive it. It's to serve the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, with genuine zeal. Not some, oh, that's a hard saying for some people, to eat the Lord's flesh and to drink his blood, to make him part of you. The Lord never said, eat, sleep, bleep, dip, dip. He didn't say that, did he? Huh?
No.
And everything is just meaningless, that was said. Just meaningless words. Are you wordsy or doozy? I see some people going after nonsense. That's all it is. All they are is nonsense. And everything I see them doing that's supposedly for the Lord is with no zeal. Their spirit, there's no spirit in it. And to serve the Lord, you have to serve him with your spirit, spirited, alive. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Not blah, blah, blah. Is that serving the Lord? No life in you. No Christ in you. No tree of life, which is Christ in you. No river of life, which is Christ in you. No zeal like Christ had in him. The zeal of my Father's house has eaten me up. Beat you out of the church. Fashion a whip and beat you deadheads. You filthy people who are after other things. Money. Selling livestock. And in the house of the Lord. And money changers. You filthy bunch of ravenous beasts and birds and evil ones. You are not of the Lord. The Lord knows who's eating and drinking from him, don't you think?
Yes.
Why? Because he sees spiritually that there's a fire behind him, as it says in the book of Joel. There are some zealots. I see them appearing here and there from the literature all over the world. But I see some dead monkeys in front of me, even in this church. They don't have it. They haven't got it. They don't want it. But I see them go after other things with all their heart and zeal. When they want something, they just do everything to pester me to get it. Well, we need some fall shirts. We need eyeglasses. Can we just go? Can we get it? Can we go? Come on, come here. We need our teeth fixed. We need this. We need that. God, why don't they? That's fine. You can have it. Because it's going to make you more guilty at the judgment bar of God that you were a user rather than a giver. But there's not that kind of fire behind you to let God live in you the way he lives in the saints. Moses was reluctant. He was just happy tending sheep and being married to his wife. But then the Lord set a fire under him, just like he did to me in the office, and the same thing he did with the Apostle Paul. He put a fire in him. I was busy just doing things I love. Man, I loved the music business. I loved it with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I love to record. I love to record others. I love to promote others. I love to promote different things because I knew how to do it, and I love to make money. I loved it. And I love to outwit all the dummies out there because there's a lot of dummies, and there's a lot of them out there, like the record distributors. They had no fire in them. They'd just been sitting there for about 50 years just using people, a distributor. There's 33 of them that I used to use to distribute my records into record stores and to the radio stations. And so they got so lazy that they started saying, well, I'd bring a record to them and they'd say, well, is the radio stations playing it? And I'd say, that's your job, man, to get the radio stations to play. No, no, you have to do that now. Is it in the record stores? And I said, well, that's your job to get it into the record stores. You lazy fat pig. What am I supposed to do? Cut the records, put the labels on them, get them printed, and put jackets and sleeves on them and everything, and liners, and shrink wrap them and all that, and then bring it to you, and then take it to the disc jockeys, and get them to play it, and then take it into the stores. That's my job. Well, what are you supposed to do? They said, well, if it takes off, well, then they order it from us. I says, well, why can't they just order it from me then? I says, to tell you what, I'm not going to give it my record because I wouldn't give it to you unless you bought 10,000 copies right now because it's a smash hit. What I'm going to do is I'm going to get it on the radio stations. They says, you can't, you don't know the jocks. I says, I'm going to buy an electrical transcription, an ET, a commercial, and I'm going to put it on the air because I got zeal to sell this record. I've got life in me to sell this record. I'm going to make everybody crazy for this record. Because if I believe in it, I'm going to make you believe in it. Now then, went to Earl McDaniel, says, Earl, how'd you like to have part of this record? I mean, he's the one that originally got the masters for it. And he says, he made the commercial for me. And I says, all right, I'm going to 1010 Winds before I had already put it on KRLA because of what they said. And the thing took off. I just ordered a phone room. I'm the one that started that way of selling records. Nobody else sold them that way. When I say 20 original hits, now they're selling 100, but they're still using my same method of hiring phone rooms to take the orders. Nobody sold records that way because they just figured records are not expensive. There's not enough money in them to buy big radio ads like that and TV ads. But volume was the ticket, because when you've really got a hit record and you advertise it correctly, it's going to sell, and I knew it. And I was into that. I had faith in my own ideas. I knew from the past that I was able to sell. I believed in myself. I didn't believe in Estevan. Because, I mean, if I wanted to go and play guitar, I'm absolutely sure I could play it better than him. For sure. Because if my heart and soul was in it, but I'm not into that, okay? I don't think a guitar is a big deal. Because I tried to play it once and it's very simple. Any simple-minded person can do that. You can't. If you just said, can endure your the fingers, okay? Yeah, a simple-minded person can play guitar. It's just like, especially the first day you can start playing chords. Right? So I don't want to do anything that just a simple-minded person can do. Simple-minded people can't do what I do when I was in the world even. I was several notches. I believed myself, and many other people believed myself, to be many notches over them. And I was. And I'm not so ignorant that I don't know it. And it's not ego, it just happens to be a fact. So I did that with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength and made millions. That's the proof of the pudding that I was right, is that I made millions. How much have you made? If you're so stinking smart, how much have you got? How much have you made? Out there in the world, in just without, we're not talking about the spiritual life now. I'm talking about a spiritual life because I was very spirited, my own spirit, without the spirit of the Lord. I had life! I brought things to life that were dead in that world. Not eternal life, but a livelihood for me. Amen? But still, some of you, you just don't know. You've never been that way before. You've always been a blasé, nothing type person. And so you really don't know what it's like to eat, breathe, sleep, dream, and drink something to the point where you just want it with all your heart and soul. And you go after and get it, you just figure, well, I'm a mediocre nothing, and I'll just take whatever comes along, and that's it. If you're fat, I'll stay fat. I won't do anything about it. If you're skinny, I wanted more than anything, all of a sudden I got a whim, another whim. I want to be Mr. Universe, Mr. America. As long as I'm working here at the gym, I'm going to go after it with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I worked out 8, sometimes 9 and 10 hours a day. 4 hours in the morning, 4 hours at night. And everybody says, you ought to get in there, man, because you can win it. And then they says, well, you have to wear these little tiny, what do you call it, to be in there. And so I said, well, that I don't want to do. But in my heart, I knew I could have done it. Because a lot of the top people, the owners of the gyms that I was working at, after I got out of the American Health Studios at Silhouette Figure Form, I was working out at a place called Decker's Gym in Cleveland. I don't know if it's still around. And they all were saying, join up, man. You've got it. On top of that, you got the looks. You know, and I know a lot of Mr. America's, Mr. Universe, they says they pick you, for your looks, too. And I had it. I had everything. And I told them, well, I'm just not going to go out there bare naked like that. Almost bare naked. And so I gave that up. Then I went after a lot of different things. And every single one of them, I went after, even when I was saved. The Lord made me do this. He says, finally, these people were all wanting to be in their own business. A bunch of flaky people that just got saved, most of them hippies. And so they decided to open up all their businesses. And then I put the pencil to it, and they were losing money. Every one of them, Elmore, Mike Elmore and all them, they were losing money. And I said, you're spending. And we were going further and further into the hole. And so the Lord says, you show this bunch of flakes how to make money. And I said, well, which one of the ideas that I have that you gave me do you want me to do? He says, the jackets. And so I got some of the people that I knew could be, they were artists, Bruce. And I showed him the technique of how my dad painted things on unbleached muslin. And it works the same way with cotton. And I showed him the technique, because if you try to spray paint cotton, you're not going to get a defined, clear picture of anything. It'll just spread all over the place the minute that the paint hits the canvas or the denim. And so I showed him the technique of how to do that. And Bruce, as he was going, he says, I came up with the technique. No, he didn't. My dad came up with that years before Bruce was ever born, or before I was ever born. And I learned it from my dad. And Bruce told me, he says, the stuff is spreading all over. And I said, oh, here's the technique. And I showed it to him. And then he did it. And I swear before God, that's the truth. And so I did show the people of this church, all of you put together, how to make money. I made more money than all of you put together. We had about a finance list about 28 pages thick. And pretty soon it was only 1/8 of a page thick from the money that I made. Then the deadbeats began to just flake off. They wanted to just go shopping. Because after all, they had made all this newfound money. Now it was the Lord that told me to show them how to make the money. Now it was them that did it. And they didn't. They just followed my instructions. And I ripped Ford off. I set up an assembly line that he does and showed him how each one can do a certain letter, and then they'll become an expert with that one letter. And then another person, another letter, and another person, another letter, and we'll get the job done that way. And I set up assembly line rhinestones. Assembly line, first of all, airbrush, because my dad was one of the best artists in the world, and so was my Uncle Clayton. And I know all about the art world, and I know all about Western, country Western, because I was raised in Montana. And my dad is out of show business because he was the one that trained Rudolph Valentino. He was in 52 or 54 movies himself. He trained Rudolph Valentino to do the Argentine Valentino tango in the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, which means the Four Horsemen of the Book of Revelation. And he taught Gloria Swanson, Mae Murray, Pola Negra, Valentino being the number one, and many, many, many other big superstars back there in the silent motion picture days. My dad's motto was, if you can walk, I can teach you how to dance. the dancing instructor of Rudolph Valentino. I told my dad, look, why don't we open up a chain of dance studios all over the country, the world, and you'll be the grand master of it that you taught Rudolph Valentino. You're the actual one that taught him these things, and my father played even in several of his movies. Well, you think, some of you stupid people are probably thinking that I'm bragging. I'm not. I'm just telling you about my life, okay? And some of you stupid people, I wouldn't care whether you left or not, because you don't amount to anything to me or the Lord, because I've never seen the fire of God in you at all, ever. You're just a lump of manteca or lard. In the eyes of the Lord, if you're not drinking from the river of life and eating from the tree of life, that's all you are. And don't expect anything. You just never expected anything out of life, this carnal life, and you don't expect anything from eternal life because you really don't believe. Because when I really believe in something, I give it all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I eat it. I drink it. I breathe it. I sleep. I dream about it. I can't wait to get up to start up with it again. Are you that way? If you can't wait to get up, if it's a hassle for you to get up and get going for the Lord, well then you're not eating from the Lord or drinking from Him. It's not your main goal is to do something for God every day. But when the Lord frightened me in that office that time, I mean, there wasn't anything else in this world that was important to me. Bobby Jameson, who I'd put my heart, soul, life, and strength, and recorded him and everything, and we're starting to hit number one on different radio stations all over the world. Mimi Triple from London Records wanted to distribute my records in Europe, and so I signed an agreement with her, and she gave me some front money for it. Tower Records just opened up, which is a subsidiary of Capitol Records, and they were begging me for him. Herb Alpert over at A&M Records was begging me for Jameson because they got so hyped under my promotion. Because I pumped my ideas into their heads to the point to where they wanted it. When I eat food, people want to eat the same kind of food I ate because I make it look delicious. Isn't that a fact?
Yes.
And when I look at some people, it's they're here to try to discourage me because they are such nothings that they actually try. It's like the devil has them here to try to take the zeal out of you because they have such a non-concern attitude that it would almost cause many people, anyone that's around them, not want to do anything either. They're just non-achievers. They're users. They don't realize how nothing they are until you throw them out on the street and they have to go to work. And then they find out they can't do the job, and then they start getting fired. And then they wind up in a one-room motel room, and they're barely able to make the payments on that. They have to sneak out the window at night because they can't pay the bill. Then they have to mooch. Kathy Wiley was such a one. She wound up sleeping on toilet seats in gas stations because she knew she didn't have any zeal to do anything. And all she could do was wait on tables. And she didn't want to do that because it hurt her feet. And some people, this is the message that the Lord wanted me to give today because you really don't have any idea or knowledge of what the meaning is of what eating and drinking is. Do you know what eating and drinking is now?
To serve the Lord with zeal.
Huh?
To serve the Lord with zeal.
Yeah, you have the words. No, with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Isn't that the first commandment?
Yes.
Okay. I could bring 1,000, 2,000, 10,000 messages on this same subject. And to some of them, it still wouldn't sink in because there's no desire in them of the ages. No desire of the ages. When the Lord proved himself to me that he existed, everything, Bobby Jameson, these tests that I took to be the best sales, I didn't even know it was just to sell insurance and jewelry or whatever it was. All that stuff seemed like such nothing stuff to me now because there's no life in any of that. in basketball, football, baseball, racquetball, ping pong, roller skating, ice skating, roller blading, playing musical instruments, singing little thongs. Susie used to make me sing. I didn't want to sing. Didn't have my heart in it. I just wanted to win souls. I just wanted to be whatever the Lord wanted me to be, not what Susie wanted me to be. I just wanted the Lord to guide me every minute, every second of the day. I wanted to serve him, and I still do with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. There isn't anything more important to me. Everything is garbage to me outside of that. God is something. Everything else is garbage, especially those that are part of his body that I see with zeal, with serving the Lord with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Everything else is garbage. It's chaff. Well, let's get into the message here, all right? I mean, this was a message, wasn't it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, the world thinks you're crazy for saying stuff like this. Because to the world, they think that manna is, and what it really is what is this? What kind of a person is this that would give up the world and everything in it? All that is in the world is vanity. Why do people go out for sports? Because they want to be a big name before they die. They want to be immortalized, and really nobody thinks about them anyway after they're gone, except, you know, like Babe Ruth, they say, the babe, man, remember the babe? What good is that doing the babe? Amen?
Amen.
I'm with you, babe. I'm with you. If somebody can't even say I'm with you, then who cares if they're with you at all anyway? Okay? Any half-wit like that, I'm with you, man. I'm with you, babe. Who cares about being famous? What good is that going to do you when you're in hell? Hmm?
None.
Nimitz. Nimitz at all. Nimitz. Okay, let's go ahead and read something here because, you know, I just get this off my chest. And I could talk about everything that I ever wanted to do in my life. And whenever I really wanted to do something, I did it with all my heart and soul and mind and strength. If I really wanted a girlfriend, I would get her. No problem. Okay? No problem. Because I would go after her. And those of you that don't mistake what I'm saying, because this is not... This isn't the work of the Lord to go after some female, is it? Or to go after some male, is it?
No.
But I see a lot of people doing that in this church. You're supposed to wait on the Lord, amen?
Amen.
I didn't go after Susie. I have to confess that when I saw her and I got to be around her, I wanted her. I wanted to. I said, well, I'll never, but I realized I had done so many wrong things in my life regarding females that I knew that God was never going to give that woman to me. I just knew that in my heart. And so I never did try. And so one day the Lord gave me a vision, and the vision was right in my sleep. And then it woke me up, and I saw it when I was raising up from the couch, and it was still coming at me, and I thought the Lord was actually taking my life. But he was showing me that I was supposed to be married to Sue. And she was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen in my life in that vision and in heaven. And she got the same thing before I did even. She got the same vision the night before. And she fought it because she said that I was too young. She said, Lord, no, no, no. I've had all these years into your service, and he's too young for me. And the Lord answered back,
yes, but he's strong. He is strong. He'll last all the years of his life. He'll tell you the right thing. If you fall, he'll stand. When you fall, he'll still be standing. And if every one of you fall, I'll still be standing. You're not going to influence me going to hell. If I can't influence you to go into heaven, then the best salesman in the world couldn't. That's how dense and dull and ridiculously ignorant and stupid you are. If I can't teach you, no one can. If I can't show you, if you can't see the death of Christ in me and the life of Christ in me, then no one can. and you're gone. You're a goner. And you can't, I don't care if you think I'm so stupid, I don't know that. But I do know that. I'm not as stupid as you think. You're no smarter than I think you are. I've got your number, in other words. I know how stupid you are. And furthermore, I know how dead you are. If you're dead. And nothing that you would do would surprise me. But you know how I'll respond if you try to respond to me or to deal with me in a carnal way. You know what I'll do, don't you? Huh?
Yes.
Everyone, yes. Because my life is an open book. Okay, now let's start reading a little bit here.
Turning to the truth with life.
Yeah, turning to the truth. That means here I was out there thinking that everything I was doing was the truth, and it was a dirty lie, but it was something that I was interested in the world. In the world. But so I turned from when I saw the Lord. My God, this is so far much more than everything in the world that I turned to the truth for life. That day that he talked to me, I turned to him. I turned away from the world and turned to him because there's no profit in the world. I mean, those are just words to you. But to me, it was a living reality. He visited me with life. He says, you know, this little thing that you're doing, and all these six motorcycle police that I hired from the funeral home, from the Los Angeles Police Department, and the chauffeur and all the 17 people that were in the entourage, I just turned my back on them. And he says, you're our livelihood. We left the police department, the LAPD. We left our wives to come with you. The cops, their wives were calling me up and saying, you've taken my police officer husband hostage. Even then, before I was saved, I was accused of taking people hostage because they just believed in me. Peter King, the one that took all the pictures of Jameson, he says, Alamo, he told those other people there, Alamo's nuts, but I'm investing everything I got in him. He's insane with desire. If you want to call that insanity. If you want to call being insanely in love with the Lord insanity. Huh? 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 You call that insanity?
No.
Well, then stop thinking it. Your mouth says one thing, but your heart may be saying something else. Amen? Somebody said amen. So I turned to life. I turned to being zealous for the Lord. I turned to giving my heart, soul, mind, and strength to him, and I still haven't found anything in the world that was worth turning back to it. I was training to be a owner of casinos in Las Vegas. That's why I get along so well with some of those casino owners. Because I know the whole shtick on that, and the radio announcers and television announcers, I know all about that sort of stuff. I know all about motion pictures. I know all about recording and how to get different sounds. Because I loved it so much at one time that I found out all there was to know about all these things, all many different things. Cooking, baking, I'm a journeyman baker. These things I were interested in and gave my whole heart and soul to learning them when I was a kid. Just a real tiny little kid. Have you ever been interested in anything in your life other than overindulging? Okay, come on, read it.
Our spirit is our temporal life.
Yeah, this our spirit without the Lord's spirit is nothing but a temporal life. And a lot of times we give our temporal life to the things out in this temporal world. Amen? That's what I was talking about, is things that my temporal spirit, my temporary life, gave to the things of this temporary world, which is soon to burn, as the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
And it really is going to happen, and soon. Okay, then what?
Even before I was reborn, I always did what I wanted to do in a very spirited way.
Ah, with all my spirit. Amen? I touched the world with my spirit. And the world was touched by my spirit, wasn't it?
Yes.
I moved the world with my spirit. Not the spirit of the Lord, but with my spirit. So my spirit is really something then. You have a spirit too, but your spirit may be very dull. You've never touched anybody with your blah spirit, your lukewarm, temporary, nothing type of spirit, worthless spirit. Nothing worthwhile has ever come out of you, either in the temporal world or in this everlasting world. Then what? Can you read that line again?
Even before I was reborn, I always did what I wanted to do in a very spirited way.
Yes, my own temporal spirit in the world. Temporary spirit in the temporary world. Then what?
I mean with great, even enormous zeal, with all my heart, soul, mind, and body.
And strength. I mean, I just keep going until I would work out with the weights until I couldn't even bend over to sit down on the bed. I had to just fall onto the bed because I was so geared and keyed up. Okay, then what?
I would eat, sleep, drink, dream, walk, talk about everything I believed to be the truth.
Yeah, that I wanted, that I liked. Okay? Did you ever like anything?
I can't say that I ever did, no. I'm just a fungus here in this world. I'd say, I guess.
Then what?
I became the best at whatever I laid my hand to do. I know now that it was because I gave everything of myself to be the best of whatever I wanted to be. I believed in it, so I was able to make you believe in it and want whatever it was that I was selling to be yours as well.